Welcome to this Krana Plus podcast, supporting and educating rural and remote health workers.
The trauma from bushfires and droughts results in a range of symptoms that vary from one person to the next. How it shows up in children, though, can be harder to detect. To talk about some of the symptoms of trauma and how to address them, I was joined in the Krana Plus studio by psychologist Dr. Simon Kinsella. I started our discussion by asking, what are some of the signs of trauma in adults?
Typically, what we see in adults is a combination of intrusive psychological events. So it might be recurrent memories or distressing thoughts. It might be recurrent dreams, even sometimes what we call dissociative reactions, where people seem to disconnect from reality. So if you're sitting with a person who's dissociating, they might seem to just check out of the room for a moment. They're physically present, but they're not making eye contact. And while they're in that dissociated state, they're often flashing back and having quite vivid visual memories of the event. We also see things like persistent avoidance of anything that reminds them of the trauma. So when it might come to bushfires, it might be avoiding going anywhere where they could be caught in a bushfire. If you're living in a regional area, then that obviously becomes quite difficult. People might perhaps lock themselves down a bit more. They might tend to spend more time in heavily populated areas where there's less chance of fire getting to them, for instance. You might see quite marked changes in mood, and sometimes you see very negative beliefs. So you see people getting very fixated on the negative. You might see quite distorted perceptions about who's to blame or what could have been done to avoid it. You might see a real loss of interest in pleasure or doing things that used to give people a sense of pleasure. And also then there's heightened arousal. It might be irritability. It might be reckless or self-destructive behavior or hypervigilance. And sometimes a greater sense of being startled. But people also get triggered off by specific stimuli. So it might be people find themselves becoming anxious or having a flashback when they smell something like smoke, or they see a burnt tree, or they might see something in the news about the bushfires. So that's probably the most common symptoms that adults experience with post-traumatic stress.
Simon, some of those things you described there are very adult reactions to trauma, I would assume. What about children? I mean, how do you pick that with children?
Well, how it manifests in children depends a little bit on the age of the children. So the older the child is, the more likely it is they'll be manifest in symptoms that look very much like the adult symptoms. But when you're dealing with young children, like children perhaps who might be preschool age or primary school age, you start to see these kinds of symptoms manifest in perhaps the way that they play, for instance. So they might start to represent the trauma in their play. They might actually act out things like sheltering from a bushfire or running away from a bushfire. You might also see very clingy or dependent behavior. So things that you typically associate with anxiety, because of course they are associated with the child's anxiety about fear of loss or fear of a parent being harmed. You might see them wanting to cling to the parent or not wanting to go to school or becoming very anxious or agitated when they're not close to family. You might see, for instance, they're anxious about going to bed because they're afraid of the nightmares that they might have. They might want to climb into parents' beds more often because they feel safe and secure with their parents. So those kinds of representations of anxiety, I guess, that are probably the most common features of trauma reactions in children.
Simon, are there any other things that parents should be on the lookout for with their children in terms of trauma?
I think similar to adults, children will try to avoid anything that reminds them of the actual traumatic event. So they might start to avoid activities or places or physical reminders of, you know, that connect to the trauma. They might try to avoid people or avoid conversations or situations. So there's that kind of avoidance of anything that's going to bring it back for them. We also see changes in mood. So you might see more negative mood. You might see a greater sense of guilt, perhaps, or sadness. we see that some children become a lot less interested in doing things that used to be fun for them. We see that they withdraw socially because they don't want to put themselves in a position where they could be vulnerable and disconnected from their parents. In some children too, particularly perhaps in an age group that's more sort of middle to upper primary school, you might start to see some more behavioural problems. You might see difficulty with concentrating at school. You might even see angry outbursts or disruptive behaviour in school. And so it's really worth, if you start to see uncharacteristic behaviour in your children, to think about whether this could be connected to trauma. And it doesn't have to be just fear. It could be anger. It could be mucking up in class. Those kinds of behaviours, particularly if they're out of character, are more likely to be a representation of the trauma.
So if you are seeing those behaviours that are out of character, what are some tips then in terms of dealing with them?
When it comes to working with children and helping children with these kinds of things, it's really helpful to, first of all, talk to them about what you've noticed as a parent. So this is obviously easier as children get older, but to actually be able to have a conversation and say, I've noticed you don't seem to want to play with your friends anymore. I've noticed you seem to be getting in trouble at school a bit more, or you seem to be having trouble concentrating. Just start to open those conversations and see what kind of engagement you can get. With younger children, it's harder to have those conversations, perhaps with a child who's 5 or 6 years of age, because they don't necessarily have the words to explain what they're experiencing themselves, which is why it tends to come out in their play, why it comes out in the things that they draw as well. They can't actually verbalize it, but they can enact it. So picking that up as a sign, first of all, is really important. Thinking about what kinds of themes are coming up in the play is important too. So perhaps if a child is representing that they don't feel safe as a parent, you might then just have conversations about current safety and, you know, for example, isn't it good that the bushfires are gone and we're safe now and we don't have to worry about that now? So that you're helping a child to sort of process that is in the past and that we're in a different phase right now. But if you see really persistent problems, it's important to try to get professional help. Up until recently, that would have been much more difficult in a regional area. But with the advent of telehealth and access to practitioners around the country, if you're living in a regional area and you've got a child who needs some therapy, for example, you can contact a child psychologist anywhere in the country and get telehealth appointments to get appropriate treatment for your child as quickly as possible. So professional help is really important. What I try to encourage people to do is, if they can, get professional help before things become really bad. It's far harder to help a person to improve, and this applies to children as well. The recovery process is longer if the person becomes sicker. So if you're starting to see some concerning signs, then try to intervene early.
Dr. Simon Kinsella, thank you very much for joining me in the Krana Plus studio.
That's a pleasure, Drew. Thank you.